And yeah, I'm so excited to continue with our series. And I really am excited to be doing this series titled Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays, everyone. This is our third week where we've been focusing on the holidays. And we've titled it Happy Holidays because that's what you're going to see. You're starting to see these signs and you're hearing songs about the holidays. Because this is supposed to be a time of celebration, but the irony is that for most people, they did a poll, I don't know, it's like 9 out of 10 people feel stressed out during the holidays. Not in this room, everybody's good here. But the truth of the matter is this is a big deal. So there's this unique kind of dichotomy at work in our culture, in your jobs, at school right now, where people are like so apt to celebrate, and yet when they think about celebrating, there's a lot of reasons for stress and on and on. But for the child of God, how many know we don't need a holiday to be happy because we have Jesus? Is anybody here happy because you have Jesus? Hallelujah. And so, you know, the Lord is supposed to impact our lives, and God wants to use us, especially during this season, to make an impact. And I want to encourage you that during these weeks as they unfold, and we're talking about these different topics. The first week we talked about, look, delight yourself in the Lord instead of comparing yourself to everyone else. You know, why are people so unhappy? It's because every party they go to, every time they go into one of these, quote, holiday moments, they're looking at what everyone else has and how it's going for everyone else, and they're comparing themselves and putting themselves down, which is not God's will. We could just be happy in God. And let me tell you, when you're happy in God, then all of those things, they become, they take on their true significance, what they really ought to be like in our minds. Last week, we talked about delighting ourselves in the Word of God, not just in God, but in His Word, in His promises, as opposed to living, worrying about what everyone else is thinking about you. Do you know our teenagers are plagued by what everyone thinks? But it's not just teenagers, it's adults too. And God doesn't want us to live in that space. Now, this week, this is a really unique one because it's something that, like, it speaks to the season. It's what the season is all about. I'm going to read a quote from the Bible to you that everyone here has heard. Now, what's interesting about this quote in the Bible is that the Apostle Paul was quoting Jesus, but it's not in the Gospels. And quite frankly, I've been reading the Bible for 40 years. Like, for some reason, I thought it was in the Gospels. And I do read my Bible. But it's like, it's so prominent. The thought of it is so ubiquitous, if you will. It means it's just everywhere. Everyone understands it to be true. That I just thought it was more places than the specific quote actually is. And here's what's unique about this before I read it to you. What's unique about this is that Paul is saying, like Jesus said this to Paul, but it was a personal revelation. And what makes today's message especially important to us is that this message only really, like, has the full impact if we get a personal revelation of it. And so I want to pray for a personal revelation in just a few moments. Is anybody here ready for a personal revelation from the Word of God? Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so what are we talking about? You ready? Okay, here it is. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said." Here it is. Let's read this together. Ready? "It's more blessed to give than to receive. How many know that phrase? It's more blessed to give than to receive. I mean, we say that all the time. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I want to read one other verse, a couple verses to you. Very, very important. This is part of my responsibility. Look, it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Why? In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of, and here it is, ready? The life that is truly life. So that they might take hold of the life that is truly life. Part of the true life that God has for us is wrapped up in our being willing to give. The Bible says it's more a blessed to give than to receive. If you really want to have happy holidays, then today's title is Delight Yourself in Giving. Okay, I just want you to know, first service was in way more of a spiritual place. Because they're like, amen! Let me try that again. We want to delight ourselves in giving, everyone. Amen. Amen. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And listen, I wanna pray a moment over this. And as I pray, I want to tell you a quote. I heard this many, many years ago by Tim Keller. He was speaking of Jesus, and he said, there's something that Jesus did all the time, and I want him to do it today. Okay? He said, Jesus would comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. So look, if you're here today, if you're watching online, tuning in from Philadelphia, right, and you're troubled in your heart, I've got good news for you. Jesus not only loves you, but Jesus wants to meet you right now. Okay, the Bible says he's close to the brokenhearted. Okay, the Bible says he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says even when our most important attachment figures, our mother, our father, when they forget us, and sometimes they can because they have their own issues, but he said, I will never forget you. How many people are happy that he will never forget us? He will never leave us. The hardest heart, the darkest heart, the meanest heart, no matter what, if you just turn a little bit towards God, he's right there. That's who Jesus is. Amen? So if you need the comfort of God, reach out, because he's there to comfort you. But there's this other side of Christ. He would disturb the comfortable. And as we go to pray today, I want you to pray. If you need comfort, ask for comfort. But maybe you need to be disturbed a little. Because maybe Jesus has to poke at some things that will help you get in a better place. Maybe sometimes there's things that need to be changed. There's some thoughts that need to be altered. There's some feelings, some perspectives, some ideas that you have that they're just not right. They're just not good for you. They're not in line with this grand truth. It's more blessed to help me give than to receive. So as I pray, right, I want us to all invite the Lord to minister to us, however he wants. You see, you're saying to the Lord, like, God, you know, I know how I feel. I know what I think I need. But Lord, today I want you to give me what you know I need, and I will receive it. How many would say amen to that? So come on, let's lift our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Beautiful service, wonderful time. And Lord, now we thank you for your word, which is life. Your word is food. Your word is light. God, your word heals. Your word does so many things. Let your word have a complete or deep impact. Let it redirect, Oh God, let it guide, let it release people. Oh God, whatever is in your heart for us, we receive it. And even if it means that we need to be disturbed a bit, we receive it, God. Have your way. Bless this word. Go beyond, Lord, just a human being sharing truth. I pray, Father, that your spirit would take over this moment and that by the Holy Spirit you would minister to every heart. So, God, I thank you. Bless this word. Bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Why does the Bible say it's more blessed to give than to receive? It's part of because of what blessing means. Listen to this. So when it says it's more blessed, the blessing here is not just material. It speaks of spiritual richness. There's a spiritual richness available to us and that is released to us, right? Watch this. Spiritual richness, joy. Anybody want some joy this holiday season? Well, watch this. There's spiritual richness, joy, and fulfillment that comes through giving. No matter how much we may want something, I'm telling you right now, there's a spiritual richness, joy, and fulfillment that comes through giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. This will transform not just your holidays, but your everyday. This is a very, very powerful truth. The Bible says a generous person will prosper, but watch this. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Come on, amen, hallelujah. There's this built-in principle. If you refresh other people, God will refresh you. God will renew you. God will resupply for you. He'll do so much because that's his heart. So it's more blessed to give than to receive. And giving does so much for the child of God. We don't understand this per se, but this is powerful. Look, giving aligns you with God's vision. And when you align yourself with God's vision, there's this built-in momentum to your life. When you wake up in the morning wanting to give, like if you missed prayer meeting this Tuesday, Chrissy spoke a powerful word, and she talked about being ready, waking up expecting to do a heavenly work. You understand, when you wake up tomorrow, should God give us another day of life, right? When you wake up tomorrow, many of us, we're going to go to work. We're going to go to school. We're going to do the things that we have to do, and all of that is good, and do it with all your heart because it brings glory to God. But in the midst of that kind of natural human work, there's a heavenly work. And Jesus said, look, my Father's always working, so I'm always working. So she was saying, we got to expect that God wants to work through us. Part of the way God wants to work through us is that we're ready to give. And when you have a heart to give, it aligns you with the vision of God. It aligns you with the Spirit of God. And there's this momentum. There's a faith. There's a joy. There's an expectancy. God is about to move. So this is a big, big deal for every child of God that we would get on the giving side. Can I say this to you? Look, the more you feel like a giver, the less you feel like a pauper. When you're giving, you don't feel poor. When you're giving, there's something about it. I can look. I grew up in a bad neighborhood. I think by all standards, we would be considered poor. My dad never made a lot of money. I never felt poor, though. And I never felt poor because of the way my mom and dad were. And I was sharing how when we were kids, I think it was in the 80s, Castro opened up Cuba, the boat people, the Marielitos. And he just whoever wanted to leave, he let them go. I had I had one cousin who came on a raft. That people came out of the woodwork. They just left. And what they would do is, in order to kind of get into the country, if you were Cuban, you had to call someone and they had to claim you. So people would find our name, Toledo, and they would just call us and say, hey, we're Cuban. We heard you're Cuban. Would you claim us? And my mom, so we were five floors up, right? No elevator. What my mom did is she rented an apartment down the hall. And people would call and they would say, hey, would you claim us, whatever. And my mom, I don't know if this was legal or not, but there were like so many people in this apartment, and they would come and they were always eating at the house. I was like, yo, what's up with all these people eating our food? There's too many Cubans around here, you know? My mom was like, oh, be quiet, be quiet. Look at all we have, be quiet. They would just come, I'm like total strangers. And before we knew it, they all became family. My mom became their mom. And I remember over and over and over again, even though we didn't have a lot, listen, my mom would say, from the pot of beans that three eat, four will eat, and five will eat. How many know when you give, God expands for you to give even more? But see, that is a perspective that goes beyond your circumstances. You know, that's a perspective that God can put inside of you. But let me tell you, when he puts that inside of you, you feel so much better. After being in ministry and learning life experience, here's one of my conclusions. Generosity is what breaks personal poverty. And personal poverty goes beyond how much money you have in your bank account. Okay? Personal poverty is different. What breaks personal poverty? Generosity. And you know what? When you start to become a giver, spiritually, emotionally, your time, at any level, relationally, when you become a giver, it breaks poverty at every level. The way to break poverty around us is to become like Jesus, to become givers. How many would say amen? And so this is such like a big deal, because there is something that happens to us when we operate with a heart and spirit of giving that is just so remarkable. You know, it's so remarkable to not have a lot but feel like you're good. You know, and you know what's even more remarkable? It's when people do have a lot and they still feel like they're not good. You know why? It's because just because you have a lot of stuff, that doesn't mean that your heart is full. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm telling you right now, God wants to fill your heart today. He wants to give a personal revelation. And there's something about pleasing God. There's something about knowing that you're doing something for God. Listen, true giving, what is true giving? True giving is exercising the heart of God through your life and resources. Giving aligns you with God's heart and vision for each day. And when you wake up aligned with God's heart and vision for each day, here's what it does for you. It blocks what plagues many, many people during the holiday season. Are you ready for what that is? Here it is. Self-pity. Now, self-pity is a delicate subject, and I want to highlight the fact that if you're here today and let's say you're on medication, you know, you're battling with depression or something of that ilk at that level, please don't take the next few moments as an accusation or as a put down. But on the contrary, you know, this could be very, very helpful to you. You see, because regardless of the legitimacy of our troubles, we can go past that. Here's what self-pity means. Listen to this. Self-pity is excessive, self-absorbed unhappiness over one's troubles. How many know we all have trouble? And your troubles are real, and each heart knows its own bitterness. No one else can share its joy. So I get that. But self-pity will kill you. Self-pity will destroy you. Look at what Helen Keller said, right? Helen Keller said, self-pity is our worst enemy, and if we yield to it, we can never do anything wise in the world. So the enemy wants to get you to be in this place of woe is me, even though it's bad. I'm not saying it's not really bad sometimes. Sometimes it is really bad. But you don't have to give in to self-pity. Elizabeth Elliot said, I want to be free of self-pity. It is a tool of Satan to rot away a life. When a person keeps justifying and supporting their troubles, it eats them alive, and it's just not God's will or God's way. So we have to be careful. It does more than ruin the holidays. It ruins everything. Now look, this past week, of all weeks that I got to preach this sermon, I was pretty sick this week. You know, just kind of like a pretty sick, I mean like a flu and couldn't leave the house, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I consider myself a pretty strong guy, independent. And praise the Lord, Chrissy's not here right this second, so that's good. Because, you know, when I get sick, I become Chrissy. She was like, oh, yeah. He was like, where's the cough medicine? She's like, it's right in front of you. Oh. Where's the Mucinex? It's right there. And you know, I know when I'm getting into self-pity because she smiles extra long. When I'm sick and Chrissy starts going like this, that's when I know. All of us, sometimes we have moments and seasons that we really are like, man, why do I have to deal with this? You know, why do I have to deal with this? And again, I'm not belittling. Some people, it's more than a week or two. Some people are carrying some heavy stuff. But I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You see? And so when your heart is cheerful, it actually keeps you in, even when you're down, even when you feel sick or whatever it might be. You know, it's so funny because this past week, Chrissy was like, you know what? Think positive thoughts. She literally said that to me. Because a cheerful heart is good medicine. And so now, when you start to give, it releases that. When you try to be a blessing to someone else, regardless of where you find yourself, it releases joy. It releases fulfillment. It starts to lift you and elevate you. It's this very, very powerful thing that only the Lord can do. And part of the reason why is it helps to change your perspective. Quick illustration. When my oldest daughter, Susie, who's now in Philadelphia with Josh, when she the first time I said, oh snap, my daughter grew up, the first time I had the thought, my daughter has grown up now. She was 14 years old. And we sent her on a missions trip. She went to some part of South Africa. And it was more than 3 weeks. So it wasn't like 4 days. It was 3.5 weeks where she went and she served in different villages and helped people. And it was only teenagers plus leaders, but it was like an amazing thing. And I know she ate, while she was on this trip, she ate like chicken feet. She ate all kinds of things that never in a million years you could get me to eat. Right? So here she's coming back, and we're so excited. So us knowing all of the things that, you know, she endured and all of the above, we got her all of her favorite treats. So Susie was 14, Annie was 10, Tommy was 8, and so we're going to the airport with this bag of goodies, and we're there with this bag of goodies, and as we're driving there, the kids are like, I want some of the goodies. I'm like, stay away from the goodies, those are for your sister. So Susie gets in the car, and you could imagine the balloons and all of the above, and when she gets in the car, the kids are like, don't you want your goodies? Because they know if she starts getting some goodies, maybe they could get some goodies. And I'm like, stay away from the goodies. Those only belong to Susie. And you know what Susie did? And then it dawned on me. So Susie was there, and she was so sober. She wasn't like, hi, I'm so happy to be home. There was something sober about her. And as we're driving in the car, it dawned on me, oh, I know what's happening right now. This is called re-entry, if they could send me a keyboard player. This is called reentry. And by reentry, I mean that sometimes when people go overseas and they have these profound cultural experiences that are so far from where we live and how we live, that when they come back to America and they try to reenter, quote, our normal life, it's shocking. And they're overwhelmed by the fact that for so many years, in a way, they were deceived. Like, you feel deceived because you look at stuff and you take it for granted. You take your microwave for granted, and you take your stopping at the drive-thru and the McDonald's and the this and that, and then you go someplace and there's no McDonald's, there's no drive-thru, there's dirt roads, there's cinder blocks, there's no ovens. Do you know how many places, how many families on this planet don't have an oven? When I was in Guatemala once, I went into this cinder block thing, and we were there on a missions trip. We went way up into the mountains, and they called. It was a medical brigade of all things, and I went with one of the doctors. It was in the middle of the night. No electricity, no running water, nothing. 3 days. Boy, was that an education, right? We only got to take what we call them wipey baths. Right? Let's not get gross. So we go into this room, and then their oven was like bricks like this, fire. That's their oven. That's their fireplace. That's their heating system. That's everything. So pregnant woman lying on the floor right next, getting as close. I remember her slightly burning her leg. She's about to give birth. The doctor's checking her. And I'm like, she's going to give birth here? Welcome to many, many parts of the world, right? So look, so Susie comes in, and they're like, I want that, and Susie was like, I'm like, no, leave Susie. Those are her treats. And she's like, no, Dad. She's like, Dad, give them the treats. It's okay, I don't care. I said, well, which one do we save for you? She goes, it doesn't matter. And then she looked out the window, and she was looking off, and I could tell, oh, she sees something that we can't see. She understands something right now that we can't understand. And all of a sudden, her kind of, I don't know, Reese's peanut butter cup that you and I, you know, get annoyed when they, did you have to eat all of the cereal? You know? Did you have to take the last of the bacon? When most of the parts of the world, they don't have any of that. And I remember her looking away saying, Dad, forget about that. So here's what happened. The Lord changed her perspective. You know, did she have peer pressure as a teenager? Of course. Did she have things that she was struggling with? Of course. Did she have all of the problems that most teenagers have? Yeah, she had her own challenges. But when God opens your eyes, then you see things differently. And guess what? Then you feel things differently. And all of it is released to us. So does everybody have to live in, you know, do we have to go there every 6 months? No, you know what you have to do? You have to give. It's more blessed to give. When you're giving, God keeps your eyes open. When you're giving, God gives you understanding. When you're thinking about other people, you feel better about yourself. It's powerful. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I'm going to close shortly, but let me say this. God gave me this quick illustration, right? This is in the Bible. So look, this year, this holiday season, you have a choice, all right? You can be a bucket, or watching online, you can be a hose. So Jesus said that if we come to him, he would give us rivers of living water. That from our hearts would flow rivers of living water. Jesus promised that we could come to him, and then if we attach him, what happens? You attach the hose to the faucet, you turn on the faucet, and then fresh water is flowing out of the faucet. How many want rivers of living water flowing out of us? Now, you can fill up a bucket with fresh water, okay? But if you fill up that bucket and the water's not poured out, over time, that water will get stale. Over time, that water will sour. And what was meant to be a blessing, what was meant to be life, it actually is like, it's putrefaction. Well, that's a big word. It's bad for you. And you know what? Some of us, we get rotten inside. You see? Meanwhile, if we gave, how many know God would always give us more so that we could give more and more and more and more and more? And I'm going to tell you right now, to your family, to your children, to your spouse, right, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your colleagues, if you become like a hose, I said a faucet, if you become like a hose attached to the true faucet of life, I'm telling you right now, you will not be battling with pity. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. This week, keep thinking about that. You know, last thing I'll say about this. It's interesting because I heard a pastor once speaking on marriage. He said, here's the interesting thing about when you get married. Right? This is good marital counseling. So you get married, and you get married because you're in love. And then some days, there are moments when you don't feel like you love that person so much. In fact, there are some days you don't even feel like you like them so much. But he said, it's nobody here. I mean, So, you guys, it's all perfect here. So, but the thing is, right? Sometimes when you don't feel very loving, this is remarkable, but it's true. He says, just go over and hug them. Because the act of giving, everybody say give. Something happens when you walk over and you hug your spouse. All of a sudden, there's something that's released to you. You remember, you feel love, because the Bible says, give and it shall be given. Something happens when we get out of ourselves and we just give. So look, if you're having a hard time these days, just hug each other a lot. And when your spouse says, why are you hugging me so much? Just say, don't worry about it. How many know everything is better when we are giving. Okay, real quickly, in a moment I have two application points, but I have to tell you what blessed giving is not. So I want to say this quickly. Here's what blessed giving is not, and you've got to understand this, otherwise you can try to give, but you're giving from the wrong place. So blessed giving is not giving to receive in return. Okay? So if you're giving to receive, then that violates the spirit of what we're talking about. When you give, you just want the other person to be blessed. All you care about is that it's good for them. It blesses them. It helps them. And you're like, don't worry, God will take care of me. It's okay. Don't think about yourself all the time. Just give. And when you give and you want them to be blessed, that's when something is released to you. But don't focus on that. Just focus on them. Okay? Number two, giving, blessed giving is not giving to be seen or heard. Some people give, but they give because it helps their reputation. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? Even though giving, being a giving person will help your reputation, but don't give to be seen. Or don't give to be heard. The more successful you become, the more capacity you have to give. And some people give, they buy influence. Right? Like you see this a lot in, let's say, politics. Who gets to, like, I don't know. If you give such and such amount, then you get the picture and you get the 5-minute talk with the political candidate or whatever. You know, a lot of times people use their money fine, but that's not going to make you happy per se. Buying influence is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the heart of Jesus. Almost done. Lastly, is giving to be liked. See, sometimes we do nice things so that people will like us. Don't give to be liked because you'll end up disappointed. See, when you give to be liked and when you give, you're like, will you like me now? If they don't like you right at that moment, you're disappointed. Okay? But if you give and you're like, I'm giving because I like them and I want to bless them, then guess what happens? The smile of God floods your soul. And you feel good just because you've pleased the heart of God. And how many know God loves you? He more than likes you. How many would say amen? We want to give. Hallelujah. Okay, two quick takeaway points. So how do we give with the right way? There's two quick things I want you to take with you. How do we give the right way? How do we give so that we get the full blessing out of it? Here it is. Number one, give from your heart. Not from your head, from your heart. This is a big deal. You got to give from your heart. You know, like the corazón, like deep. Learn how to give, whether it's your time or your energy, give from your heart. Look at what the Bible says here. We won't be much longer, but look, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously, it's not generous if it's not from your heart. You see, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided, everyone. In your heart to give. It's a heart thing, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves when we give from our hearts. How many know when God gives to us, it's always from His heart? How many are thankful that God is generous with all of us? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So listen to this. How many know that this season, it'll probably start right around Thanksgiving, there's two shows that are going to play, two movies. One is A Christmas Carol. There's going to be plays about it. Happens every year. This classic story written by Charles Dickens, and you know it's about Scrooge. Everybody know the Scrooge story? Can I see your hands if you know the Scrooge story? Okay. If you don't, look it up. It'll be good for you. And then The even greater classic is The Grinch That Stole Christmas. Come on, does everybody know Dr. Seuss? If you're not living if you don't know The Grinch That Stole Christmas, okay? Now, both stories speak to the same issue, okay? Here's what they say. Whether it be Dickens, right, A Christmas Carol, or Dr. Seuss's The Grinch That Stole Christmas, both of them highlight that the rich miser is always miserable. You see, just because you have a lot doesn't mean that makes you happy. On the contrary, you could have a lot, but if you're not a giver, you'll end up unhappy. You see, why? Because it's more blessed to everyone give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's better to have less through giving than more through not giving. Something happens to your heart when you give with the heart of God. Here's the last thing. If you really want to delight yourself in giving, give from your heart. And then the last thing is give the gospel. Everybody say, give the gospel. There's a joy that comes when we participate in people tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. The average Christian in America is not telling other people about Jesus, which is one of the reasons why they're not overflowing with joy. People who tell other people about Jesus are really happy. There's something powerful that's released inside of us when we give the gospel. I'll close with this. Won't be too much more, but could you give me these verses real quick? Do we have that? Okay, look. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now this, why am I bringing this up? I'm going to tell you why. It's because when we prophesy according to the gift of the Spirit, people are edified, encouraged, and comforted. You see, with your mouth, there's a gift that the Spirit can give you to encourage people, to comfort people, right? To build them up and strengthen them. There's something about prophesying. Okay, now, when you share the gospel, that's the spirit of prophecy. When you're operating and telling people about Jesus and you're operating in that spirit of prophecy, there's something that not just that happens to them, but something that happens to you. All of us should eagerly desire this week to be used by God. God wants to use you to declare eternity over someone's life, to help usher someone into eternity. How many would agree? This is important. Sharing the gospel is important during this season in our city, in our lives, in our communities. Come on, put your hands together and say, yes, I agree with that. It's not for the other guy. It's for you. And it's for me to share the gospel. Last thing. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And here it is. And how can they hear without someone? Without someone. Everybody say, that's me. Without someone preaching to them. Without someone speaking forth the words of life. Okay. I want to leave you with two quotes and we will be done. First of all, they asked Mother Teresa, why do you do what you do? Why do you live in this place that is so impoverished, ministering in India, in places that people take a bath, in kind of a river that's more sewage than fresh water? Why do you do this? Here's what she said. She said, when I see their faces, I see the face of God. One of the most profound statements I ever heard in my life. What would your life be like? What would your week be like if when you walk down the street, when you see their faces, you see the face of God? What would your conversations be like? What would your encounters be like? When you see their faces, you see the face of God. How many know that all the people that we're going to talk to this week, they've been made in the image of God. Those are children of God. Amen. And somebody wants to use us. God wants to use us to be a blessing by sharing the gospel this Christmas season. And then I'm going to let an atheist challenge us as we're going out. There's an atheist who said this, and we'll pray. If you know everlasting life and you know of everlasting death, how much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them of it? This wasn't a Christian. Because he was saying, logically speaking, if you really believe this stuff about heaven and hell, well, I can't believe you don't tell everyone about it. That's a challenge, isn't it? But you know what? At the heart of it, it's the spirit of giving.